Deuteronomy, know much about the titles of the books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means repetition. And it's repeated for a reason, because God's people were stiff-necked, hard-headed. Amen. And God's people being Israel, we understand as we read this, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Right.
Amen. All of it, every bit of it. Not just the New Testament for the New Testament church, but every bit of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen.
Right.
So all of it is good for us. And we can use that. Well, you think whenever you read this, well, that's written to the children of Israel. That's only dealing with them whenever they was being so rebellious. No, that's dealing with God's people because we're grafted in. Amen. We're grafted into the family of God. Now we are a part of the family of God. And now all Scripture, God said in His Word, is written to us. Amen. For our benefit, for instruction, and for righteousness. Now, with that being said, I was doing my daily Bible reading today, and God just was showing me all kinds of things through His precious Word. I've read Deuteronomy repetitiously several times. And this is not anything new. And Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun anyway. Amen. But as I read it, it begins to just overwhelm my soul, and I ain't got over it, and I hope I never do. Amen.
Right.
But I was reading, and God was speaking to, of course, Israel through Moses. And chapter number 9, the book of Deuteronomy. I'm just going to jump around a little bit. You just bear with me. I'm just going to try to find God. Amen. Share my heart. In chapter number 9, God is speaking through, of course, His servant, and He says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, and children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anakim?" That's because they were giants. They were huge people. And God is saying, "Listen, Israel, you're going to go over Jordan today. Today's the day. You're going over. You're going to go to these big cities and these great cities, and you're going to face some people that you've heard of that it sounds like it's impossible for anybody to come up against. Understand, therefore, this day," verse number 3, "that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee." He's going to get there before you do, all right? "As a consuming fire, He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." So God has spoken unto them. He said, "I'm going over before you, and I'm going to start the battle before you ever get there. I'm going to start taking care of some business. So when you get there, you just wipe up the mess." Amen. "Just finish cleaning house and it's all going to come out for the good. Just do what I said." Amen. "And it's all going to benefit you in the end. Speak not thou in thine heart." What's this verse 4? "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God has cast him out from before thee, saying, 'For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me into the possess this land.'" Hello. God says it to His chosen people, who were a stiff-necked people, to go into this land, this great land, and there's going to be folks there they have the reputation, they're unbeatable. It's like the football team that's unbeatable. This is a group of giants that can't be whooped by the natural man. God says, "I want you to go into this city, and I'm going to go before thee, and I'm going to take care of some business." Amen?
Yeah.
And He says, "Don't you think in your heart that I'm doing this because of your righteousness."
Right.
Hello. That'll help us right there if we let that sink in for just a minute. Don't think for 1 minute I'm doing this because of your righteousness. Right? He says in verse number 4, "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, 'For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land.' But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before me. It's not your righteousness that's allowing God to do this or the reason God's doing this, but it's the wickedness of the nation. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes I think that we get to the place we think that God owes us and we expect God to do things. Amen? And whenever God does things, it's because we're so good that God did that. Has nothing to do with our righteousness. Amen? But it has everything to do with the wickedness of wicked men.
Right.
It's good preaching if I did so.
Amen.
Helps me anyway. Not, so verse 5, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform, what's this? He may perform the word which the Lord sware to thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's doing this because God's promised. God always keeps his promises. Amen. Listen, he didn't promise to every one of them individually, but he promised it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And he says, I will give thee this land. And so he's making these things to come to pass. He's making the children of Israel to pass over there, and he's not doing it for their goodness, because of their righteousness, because they are, as we study through chapter number 9, we find that they are a stiff-necked people and rebellious, and they have turned away from many things that God had told them to do. So they're going into the land. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember, and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been, what's this? Rebellious against the Lord. But yet look at the blessings they were receiving, although they were rebellious and stiff-necked and disobeyed God. You know what that is? That's a loving God.
Yeah.
Overlooks our faults and our failures. Overlooks our stubbornness. Overlooks our stupidness. Hello. That's a God that looks down and forbears our ignorance. Forgives our waywardness. Because he loves us. Verse 13, furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made a molten calf. Y'all remember the account, how they made the molten calf while Moses was up to get the two tables of stone. Stiff-necked.
Amen.
Amen. Rebellious. You see it. Verse 18, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights, and neither did eat bread nor drink water, because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. The Lord was very angry, verse 20, with Aaron and to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Stop reading verse or chapter 9. Jump over to chapter number 10. Chapter number 10. You know, he hewed out the two tables of stones. We know the account, how all that took place. I won't get into the tablets and the Ten Commandments. Verse number 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Well, this is what got me today. I was reading these verses, and well, I couldn't get away from it. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? And then the answer is right there in the scriptures, but to fear the Lord thy God. And there's nothing else to fear but the Lord.
Amen.
They ain't no need to fear what man can do unto me. Let's chapter verse 11 also. Amen.
Amen.
No need to fear what man can do unto me. There's no need to fear what a virus can do unto me. But fear the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Someone asked me today, said, preacher, are you getting that vaccine? I said, I am not.
They looked at me kind of funny. Well, why are you not? Matter of fact, I had somebody else call me today and ask me, said, "Preacher, I need to ask you a question." I said, "Well, ask me." I said, "Are you getting that vaccine?" I said, "No, I'm not getting no vaccine." He said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because I read the little paper that they give the individuals when they get the vaccine. They give them this little piece of paper. And on that little piece of paper, it tells you it is not FDA approved. And there's no guarantee that you still won't get the virus." Yeah.
Right.
So with or without it, I have 97.9% possibility of surviving it. So no, I'm not getting the virus.
Right.
I don't fear the virus. I know the virus is real, and I'm not throwing off on it. Please don't think that it is real. There's many folks that are sick. But the Bible doesn't tell me, God never instructed me to fear a virus. But it says, what is required of thee is to fear the Lord thy God.
Right.
Amen. I'd be more fearful of laying out of the house of God and making excuses than I would being in the house of God and being faithful.
Yes, sir.
I'm moving on. I'm not going to linger there. What is required? What doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. Is everybody getting a hold of that? Well, what is required of thee is to walk in all the ways of the Lord thine God's word. God gave us his word, and he says, only thing I require of you is to follow what I wrote down. I made it pretty simple for you. I wrote it down for you. You ain't even got to remember it because I wrote it down for you. You go to court and you tell the judge, well, a judge, I did that out of ignorance. I didn't know that that was law. I didn't know that we couldn't do that. That judge is going to look at you and say, it's wrote down. This is where you find it in the book of the law, general statutes, whatever, names off of wherever it's located. That's where that law is written. There's no excuse for not knowing it. There's going to be many that stand before the Lord. They're going to say, Lord, I didn't know. And he said, I wrote it down.
Amen.
You are, the Bible says, man is without excuse. There's no excuse. Amen. Walk in all his ways. And to love him, not with just lip service, but with all your heart, your soul, and your mind.
Right.
Every part of your being is to love the Lord thy God.
Right.
How can we come into the house of God and be excited and shout and sing and praise the Lord? How can we do that? We do that because we love him.
Amen.
All of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. Amen. Excited to be at the house of God.
Amen.
Thrilled that I get to go. Amen. I had to drink 2 cups of coffee today just to make it. Amen. I drank some this afternoon, was extra bold. I said, Lord, help my belly that it don't kill me. Because I wanted to be at the house of God. I wanted to be here. I wanted to open up the bread of life. And I wanted to share with you what God laid on my heart today. What is required of us is just to love him. Amen. And follow his word. And that's the only thing that he requires, is not to fear anything else except the Lord our God.
Amen.
I'm concerned today about all those that say they love him and yet they never darken the door of his house.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about those that say they love him and never put a dime in the offering plate.
Right.
Amen. Because giving is a part of worship, and we give because we love him. Amen. And by the way, let me say this. Thank you for all those that gave to the boys' home. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can never thank you enough. Thank you for what you did. It was a $370 offering that was taken up on Sunday. Then someone else came and brought me another $450 to give to the boys' home. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bless his holy name. Amen. I got some video too, by the way, if you'd like to see that. They went in and started doing some repairs to the home. And they found the ceiling joist and structure damage that they didn't know existed. And whenever they started doing this other repair, they found more damage and things that had begin to fall apart. So they had to go and get some 6x6 posts, put them down in the basement, jack the floor up to the main level, and then go in that level and jack the joist up to the ceiling to get all that stuff. The house was literally falling down around. Isn't that amazing? And God has protected them through every bit. That's the God that I serve.
Yes.
Amen. That's the God that I serve. He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. But thank you for your gift. But I'm concerned about those that say that they love the Lord and never have any time for the Lord. They say it with their lips, I love Jesus. You see those signs in people's yards that say, thank you, Jesus? You go by there on Sunday, that sign's there, and the car's still there too. They're still thanking Jesus. They didn't have to go to church. I wonder about those folks. I'm concerned really about folks like that. Because they're deceived in thinking that everything's okay. When it's not okay. The scripture says, what does thy God require of thee? And it's not a hard thing. God's not asking us to do something that's impossible. It's real easy for me to love Him when I realize how much He's loved me. Because I know me.
Amen.
I know me. I know what a wretched sinner that I am. Amen. And it's real easy for me to love my God because I know that He loves me. Mm-hmm. And He's promised me a home in heaven that I don't deserve.
Right.
I was reading that verse of scripture about it's not because of your righteousness. Boy, I put myself right in there. Amen. Right in that verse. It's not because of my righteousness. It's not because of my good deeds. It's because I deserve it. But it's because that He loves me.
Amen.
And it makes it real easy for me to love Him. Because I realize how much He loves a wretch like me. What He does for me. I'm looking over there and that, Lord help me tonight. I was looking in the Bible about those daily blessings. And got to thinking about the daily things that God does for me. Every morning He gives my liver the thing it needs to function. Amen. I don't even know what it's called. It just does it. Amen. And my pancreas and whatever else it goes on in this body. And every bit of that works. And I have no control over it.
Right.
You want to start naming your blessings. When you get up in the morning, you can open both eyes and see out of both of them. You ought to be thanking God. Amen.
Amen.
What does God require than just to love Him? Amen. And He's given me my sight. He's given me my smell. And one of those folks that got COVID, I talked to Brother Robert just the other day, and he said, preacher, that's the weirdest thing in the world, not being able to smell and not to be able to taste it. He said, I stuck my head in a jar of garlic and couldn't smell nothing. I said, well, that's got to be all. And I begin to think about those things. And what a blessing, amen, it is to get up in the morning to be able to smell and to taste the good food that God's blessed us with. I tell you, we got so much to be thankful for, we'll just stop and shout a while. I can get up in the morning and take a step to my closet and there's clothes to put on. I can walk over to the shoe section of our room and there's two. There's one for her, there's a his and a hers. Amen. Hers has got more than his. Amen. Y'all see it out there. But I can walk over there and I can pick what pair of shoes I want to put on my feet.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And I wear uniforms all through the week, so I don't really get to choose. I've got 12 of the same thing. Amen. It's not a hard decision. But I got clothes to put on. Amen. And on Saturday, I can go over to that same closet and I can pick out something to wear for Saturday and I can pick out something for Sunday. And I have a choice to make.
Yeah.
I can go into my cupboards in the pantry and I can open the doors of the pantry and I can say, well, what do I want? I have this, or I can have this, or I can have that. And God has been mighty good to you and I.
Amen.
I can choose what I want to eat. I can choose what I want to wear. I can choose what I want to drive.
Amen.
Either my company vehicle, I can pay for the gas, or I can cut my own and pay for it myself. Everybody don't have that choice.
Amen.
I mean, God's been good to us.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't have two vehicles in my yard. That don't matter. If you ain't got one vehicle, if you're breathing God's air, He's been mighty good to you.
Amen.
If He saved our soul from the devils after saving us, you've got a reason to say. You've got a reason to be excited. God has daily loaded you with a blessing that you're not going to die and burn in the devil's hell. Hallelujah. Love the Lord thy God. Oh, listen, don't just love Him with your lips, but love Him with everything that's within you.
Amen.
Where He's brought you from. And look where He's taking us to.
Yeah.
Amen. We ain't going to stay there, but listen, we get to go enjoy it for a little while. While literal hell is breaking loose on earth, God's children is going to be rejoicing at the table. Amen. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe it's going to be fried chicken and nanner pudding. Amen. I just believe it's going to be a subtle thing on one end and probably a motor thing on the other end. Amen. But there ain't going to be no monkey breeds up there. Amen. I don't know that. I have to chapter verse back that up, but whatever they like, I guess it'll be there. I think it's going to be a miracle, honestly, when you sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that what you're accustomed to eating is what it's going to taste like. Hey, man, I don't think God's going to put something before us that's going to be nasty, because there'd be no sorrow, there'd be no tears, and there won't be no onions because they bring tears. Amen. It's going to be heavenly. Amen. I believe it's going to be some ice cream involved. I know that to be real because you go in the grocery store, there's heavenly hats. I don't know where all that came from, but there it is. I just believe God's going to treat us royal.
Yes, sir.
Not because of our righteousness, Miss Whitney. I understand David said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, yet to love me." The only thing that he requires of us is just to love him in return.
Right.
Well, how hard is that? Only thing my bride requires of me is just to love her in return. She loves me and I love her. It's all that's required in our relationship. Everything else is surrounded by that love. Amen. It's a good day or it's a bad day. Depends on how you're loving each other.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, Lord, I could preach for an hour. I might anyway. If you get ready to go, just go. I'll unplug anyway. To walk in all of his ways and to love him and to serve. What's this now? And to serve the Lord thy God. All thy heart and with all thy soul. You can't do it, listen. You can't do it half-heartedly. You got to put your all into it.
Right.
Whenever I was playing baseball, I never really made it a famous league. I played for a group called Certified Concrete. And they made fun of us and called us the Certified Commode Cleaners because we was so sorry. We was probably one of the worst ball teams there ever was, but I was on the baseball team.
Amen.
And they would tell me, my coach would tell me, said, "Son, put your all into it. Everything you've got, put it into it. That ball comes at you, run to it. Don't run away from it." And that would literally scare me to death because I knew that thing would knock me out if it ever hit me. But he'd say, "Son, don't be scared of it. Give it everything you got. You chase that ball. Go at it." And I finally got a hold of that concept. Amen. And this is just the thing of, it's just like life. And don't be scared of it. Go at it. Amen. And God is with us and he's our God. Don't be fearful of what's coming at us. Go at it. Amen. Because God's already with before us. He's got this thing under control. Serve him with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. Everything you've got, give it to him. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and the earth also, and all that therein is. Oh, preach this Old Testament now. The United States owns part of that now. China owns they don't own nothing. God owns it all. Amen. Everything that's in heaven, everything that's in the earth, everything that's in the sea, under the earth, wherever it's at, it's all God's. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is a God of gods. Hallelujah. And he is Lord of lords. And the Bible says he's a great God. Yeah. And a mighty God. And a terrible God. He regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. You can't buy my God off. He owns it all anyway, devil. He's a great God. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. Not to Dr. Spock and not to everybody else that says they've got the answer, but cleave unto the Lord thy God. Amen. And swear by his name. He is thy praise. And he is thy God. He hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. That word terrible is not talking about bad things. That's talking about terribly good things. Hallelujah. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Can I help us just a little bit here at Midway Baptist Church? Hey, might not be but a handful. But if we'll get on fire for God and stop being rebellious and stop being a stiff-necked people and just fall all over God and fall in love with him again and remember where he's brought us from, he will multiply the congregation.
Amen.
Amen. I just believe it. Chapter 11, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charges and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. Sometimes. That says that in your Bible, burn it. Throw it away. Keep his statutes, his judgments, his commandments always. It's never, never an excuse to not to love. It's never an excuse to rebel against him. Never a reason. Know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, but his greatness and his mighty hand and his stretched out arm and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt and unto all his land. And God worked in miracles in your life. I've heard some testimonies tonight. God worked a few miracles.
Yes, sir.
God's done some amazing acts.
Yes, sir.
He says here in this passage of Scripture, chapter number 11, he says, your children haven't seen the things that you've seen. You've seen some mighty acts. You've seen the mighty hand of God. You've seen his greatness. I think that's why it's important for the redeemed of the Lord to say so.
Yes,
let the children hear what God's done.
Yes.
Let them see what God's done. What he did to the army of Egypt, verse number 4, chapter 11, and to the horses and to their chariots, and how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. What he did unto you in the wilderness until he came into this place. Let me move on. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Verse number 13, it said, come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, God's not asking us to do something undoable. He's not asking us to do something that's unheard of. He's asking us to do something that's natural.
Right.
It's commonplace. It ought to be that every time the doors of the house of God is open, that we're here. That the children of God are here.
Amen.
And not just sitting here just to be here, but here in body and soul and in mind. I know a lot of times people come to church and they come and they sit on a pew just to be in a pew. Because they concentrate, they know that, man, I need to be in church. But it's a whole other thing whenever you come and your heart, your mind, and your soul is focused on what he has for you.
Right.
What does God have for me tonight? What does God have for me on Sunday morning and Sunday school? It's another plug for Sunday school. Amen. What does God have for me for Sunday school? What does God have for me for me in the 11 o'clock service. It's not just to sit in my place, which is good to be faithful and to be in your place, but be here with your mind and your heart and your soul and say, God, what is it that you have for me today? Because I've been at it this week at work. And I've lived this week the best that I could, to the best of my abilities, and I've failed. My righteousness is as filthy rags, and I've failed the best that I can do. What is it you have for me? To speak to my heart and help me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, everything that you got. Give it unto Him. Verse 13 in chapter 11, and it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, serve with all your heart, with all your soul. Now I know He's speaking to Israel. Now stay with me for just a minute. Let me borrow your mind. He is speaking to Israel. We understand that. God never promised in the Word of God that He would heal America.
Right.
Never promised that.
Right.
2 Chronicles 7:14. The scripture that's used many times for revival, and it's okay to apply that to revival. You can do that. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, that's recipe for revival. But God never promised He would heal America.
Right.
That promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 was written to Israel. Right. If they would quit being a stiff-necked people and turn from their rebellious ways and follow the Lord, that He would heal their land. Now here's what He said. Verse 14, and I will give you the rain of your land in due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I believe this can be applied to the New Testament church and to the believers of our day.
Right.
If you would serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and follow His word, and do what is well pleasing in His sight, I believe those blessings, not so much on the land as America, but on your life, God would bless you abundantly, and He would do things miraculously in your life if you would just show Him how much you care. Amen. And love Him and to serve Him and to give everything in your life unto Him and watch what He does.
Right.
I know that there's your life that you can just lay it on the altar and say, here it is. But when you get up, don't take it back with you. You got to leave it there. Amen. Leave it unto the Lord. Lord, whatever it is, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Father, I'll do it. And so whenever you go out the door and you go to the gas station and a JW comes up to you, or a drunkard or a drug addict comes up to you trying to bum money off of you, then you take that time to witness unto them and tell them about the love of God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Why would I do that? Because you love the Lord your God.
Right.
And you're just following in His ordinances and in His word where He says to witness to those around you and be bold in your speech and courageous in your speech and go into all the world and spread the good news of the gospel, because everybody around you is not saved.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We're having a good time, aren't we? I told you I felt like I'm a priest coming on. Take heed unto yourselves that your heart be not deceived.
Right.
That's where pride steps in. I've heard of so many people that are doing so many things because it makes them look good. And they're proud to say it. They're proud of who they are. They're proud of what they're doing. They're so eat up with pride, it is literally destroyed. Look at me. I went to church today. Well, that's just your reasonable service. Well, look at me. I gave $100 in the offering. Well, that's just your reasonable service.
Right.
Well, look at me. Look what I've done. That's just your reasonable service. Who do you think? Don't let your heart be deceived into thinking you deserve what you've got because you're so good. You've got what you've got because God loves you.
Right.
Amen. That's the only reason you got what you got.
Uh-huh.
That's called grace and mercy. Amen. Be not deceived in your heart. Take heed to yourself. I'm afraid that today we have so many people that think that they're blessed because God owes them. God don't owe us nothing.
Amen.
God never did owe us anything. As a matter of fact, God's plan was for the children of Israel. And because they rebelled, amen, he used the Gentiles, which is what we are, to provoke them to jealousy. And it's only by the grace of God, amen, that we've been grafted into the family. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. And thinking that you're going to make it no matter what you do. Thinking that you're going to make it where you're sure of your salvation or not. Some people think they're going to make it because they're just good people. Let not your heart be deceived. That's not the word of God. Amen. Many people are deceived into thinking that they're going to make it on their good merits because they're so righteous and they're so good. Many people sitting on our church pews feel that very way because they're faithful to church and they give to the offering and the offerings and they give to the special offerings and they give the missions and they do all these things in the church, and because they do all that, they think they're going to make it to heaven. That's not the way it is. We all know that. Amen. Let not your heart be deceived. Don't think that the blessing that you have is because of your goodness. The blessing that you have is because of God's goodness. That'll help you if you let that sink in. Amen. It's been helping me all day. It ain't because of my goodness. It's because of His goodness. Chapter number 11. Chapter 11, verse 25. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and to dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. He told that to the children of Israel. You're going into this land, don't you be fearful of those. I'm going to put the fear of you in them.
Amen.
Why are we so fearful? I'm moving on. That's not what I'm going to show you. Behold, I set before you this day, watch this, verse 26, a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commands of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. God said, I'll make you a blessing. You believe that? You believe you can be a blessing? God said, I'll make you a blessing.
Yes.
If you'll follow my commandments. If you'll take my word, as I preached on Sunday, take the book and eat it up. Chew on it. Feed on it. Get your heart and your mind and your soul focused on Him. Let your entire life be surrounded by Him and His word. And He said, I'll make you a blessing. But if you don't, I'll make you a curse.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I want to be a blessing. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to be a blessing to the folks around me. I want to be a useful vessel meet for the Master's use.
Right.
Amen. I want to be so full of God that I'm no earthly good. so full of heaven, amen, that I'm no earthly good. I think that's how that phrase goes. But anyway, it's pretty close. Why should we serve Him? What does thy God require of thee? He requires us to fear Him and none other. He requires us to love Him and none other, because He is a jealous God. And He requires us to serve Him. Why should I serve Him? Because He's never lied to me. Because of all of His promises.
Yes, sir. Right.
You can study through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, everywhere God made a promise, God's kept it.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the Word of God would you find a broken promise.
Right.
I'm about to preach sermon number 2. Now I'm telling that's helping me right there. Nowhere in the Word of God would you find broken promise.
No.
Boy, I've had a lot of people lie to me.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me things and preach, I'll do this, preach, I'll do that. Before I was a preacher, people tell me, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll be there, and they never show up. They lie to my face. I had girls look me right now and lie to my face. Tell me they're going to straighten up and do right, never did. Broken promises. they ain't one in the entire word of God where God broke a promise.
Yeah.
That's why I serve Him. That's why we should serve Him. Not only because He's never broken a promise, but because of His passion. He loves us in spite of us. And every time you break His heart, you know what He does? He welcomes you right back into the fold. He welcomes you to come and confess that. In a minute. Make things right. He forbears. He forgives. That passion. That's why I serve him. The reason I serve the Lord, my God, because of his promises are never broken, because of the passion that he has for me, because if I don't, there's a punishment.
Yeah.
I'll make you a blessing if you just obey my word. But if you don't, I'll make you a curse.
Amen.
I believe there's a lot of people today that's on the road to hell because so-called Christians, they're not saturated in the Word of God. They're living their life as a deception, and they're taking people with them. You know what that means? They're a curse. They're a curse. Don't you mean God would make somebody a curse? Absolutely. That's what he said in his word. I want to be a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention. I've enjoyed preaching without that one. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege you've given us to be in your house.